Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, paint the breeze. Executives who wanted expensive cars like Cadillacs and what he did. This issue has come up
Now the California state of California is bankrupt, and the state spends about over $5 million a year for expensive cars, from SUVs to Cadillacs, for all the state legislatures. We think that the state legislature should vote against buying any more cars individually for the representatives, the state senators, and the assembly people, and that they should be given a gas and mileage allowance. And if they need a car for a long distance, or they have problems, they're certainly not going to ride a bicycle. We should have a motor pool available, and I think there is one available, like the federal government had when I worked there, that you needed a vehicle, you pulled it from the pool, General Services Administration. So I don't see why this, in fact, this can apply to all these legislatures around the country, which do allow the members to purchase cars, and the state will pay for them, or the city. So it's something to think about. Excuse me, everybody else has got to tighten their belt. Legislatures should, too. So today, some interesting birthdays and events. Now, those of you who like Greta Garbo, she was in a movie called Queen Christina. Queen Christina was the sole, she was the only child of one of the Swedish kings after the country became Lutheran. They were once Catholic, Roman Catholic. And then she was born in 1626. She abdicated when she became a Catholic. Now the reverse happened about 150 years later when current Marshal Bernadotte, Jean Bernadotte, who was one of Napoleon's marshals, very competent army general, became disillusioned with Napoleon, and he was invited by the king of Sweden, who had no children, who had no heirs, who was Lutheran, invited to come up to Sweden and become the heir apparent, successor, and of course he had to embrace Lutheranism. So, and then the Bernadotte family, they were French Roman Catholics, and there's a famous movie called Desiree, with Marlon Brando and Gene Simmons. I mentioned it once before, and that's fairly accurate, and it gets into how Marshal Bernadotte became the King of Sweden and how he fought against Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. Then there was the famous Greta Garbo movie, Christina, Queen Christina, and it was black and white, and if you like, this is fairly accurate history according to Hollywood, so I recommend that film. And then today also, Eli Whitney, the inventor of the cotton gin, was born. And contrary, one of the political myths about the Civil War was that it was about freeing the slaves. It wasn't. It was about states' rights and the economic imperialism as what the Southerners saw the North as trying to impose on the South. Slavery was a dying institution, and cotton prices had decreased around the world. Also today, excuse me, we had the guy who founded the great German combine, Siemens, S-I-E-M-E-N-S. They're into everything, and they've also been paying bribes and got caught. The guy Friedrich Siemens was born today in 1826. And then the founder of General Motors, he's got an interesting middle name, William Crapo Durant founded General Motors. He was born today in 1861. Of course, there was a time when General Motors cars were living up to William Durant's middle name. They were crap. And people were warned, don't buy a car that's put together, assembled, on Friday or after a holiday. But General Motors, the reason they became so, their cars became so popular is because they built these huge engines, the Pontiacs, and also they had a high school apprentice program for designers. And so General Motors cars were always appealed to the new generation of car buyers. That's how that happened. And, of course, Chrysler was into engineering. Walter Chrysler was a brilliant engineer. Chrysler Building in New York is named after him. And their cars got to look stodgy. My first car was a 1951 DeSoto, which I paid $100 for. I still miss that car. I was in hog heaven, and I wouldn't drive it during the week. I took the Muni, And then on the weekends, I washed it on Saturday and drove it on Sunday to church and partying with the girls and all of that to the beach. So those days are over, although I did see a restored 51 DeSoto, so we'll put it up on our Amicus Veritas site because I like old cars, and they don't build them like that anymore. Also, the famous musician Jean Sibelius was born today, great Finnish composer. And then we had Diego Rivera, who the Mexican communist, whose wife or his live-in partner was Frida Kahlo, and she was also a great artist. And then those of you who are familiar with the New York waterfront, the great film On the Waterfront, the corrupt union boss in real life, his name was Leo J. Cobb. He was also the editor in a famous film which involved a case in Chicago where a 19-year-old youth was falsely accused of murdering a cop, and he went to prison. And his mother, Polish immigrant, lived in Wicker Park, which has become one of the new yuppie areas of Chicago. She would walk to work to save car fare, and she would wash on her knees for 10 years, wash scrub floors in the downtown office buildings to raise $5,000 as a reward for information for someone who would try to prove her son was innocent. So it was picked up by the old Chicago Sun. I think I never met him, but the reporter is still living, if he's still living. And a famous story called, became a film with Jimmy Stewart, who was connected with Kim Novak, who also lived in Wicker Park. I think her first name was Jean. We both had the same speech teacher, although we were several years apart, and I used to sit in her desk at Wright College. Anyway, it was called Call Northside 777. That was the ad that she placed in the classifieds in the Chicago Sun. And the editor was thumbing through the paper. It was a slow news day. And in Chicago, when there were slow news days, what the old Chicago American, which was a Hearst paper, they would create a fictional murder, get everybody all worked up about a murder in the black areas or in the poor areas of Chicago. It was one of the media moronic things that they pulled and eventually killed the Hearst paper, the Chicago American. But the Sun, and later merged with another paper, took in over by Marshall Fields. The editor saw this classified ad, and he said, go and check this woman out, check this ad out, maybe just nothing. And Jimmy Stewart played the reporter. He went after hours, about 10 o'clock at night, found this woman. He was looking for somebody else, and she was the only one in the building, on her knees, scrubbing the floors, and killing in the film. And she says, I'm the one that placed the ad, and says, Mister, can you help me? Something like that. Great film. The convict was eventually freed, and he got, in those days, the state of Illinois paid him, I think, $15,000 false imprisonment payment for the years that he lost as a youth. Edward G. Marshall, or E.G. Marshall, I forgot his first name, who used to play in the Defenders, a 60s criminal defense lawyer program with Robert Reed. That was his debut in film, and James Stewart, great actor, played the reporter, and I got the Italian guy's name. And it's a great film, and I recommend it. Call Northside 777. That was the phone number that you put in the classified ad in the Chicago Sun. And then who else is born today? Oh, yes. Two other actors. Maximilian Schell, he played in a lot of films with his great German accent, English-accented German, or German-accented English. And his sister is Maria Schell, famous Austrian acting family. And last film he was in Judgment at Nuremberg, where he played a defense lawyer for one of the Spencer Tracy played the judge. The names were fiction, and Michelle played the defense lawyer. And then the other film, A Bridge Too Far, he played a Nazi general who was repeated the role It was actually accurate when a British Field Marshal Montgomery came up with this plan, Operation Market Garden, which was to paratroop troops and a light brigade into to capture the five bridges across the Rhine, and that would shorten the war by 6 months, so he figured. But they bungled the whole thing. It was, on paper, typically, it was brilliant, but they sent in radios that didn't work. They couldn't get the Polish brigade there on time. Great film, A Bridge Too Far. Sir Richard Attenborough was the producer, and he also produced Gandhi. So if you're into history, accurate history, recommend that film. And then James MacArthur, who played in Hawaii Five-0, he recently died. He was the adopted son of Helen Hayes, and her husband, who was related to distantly related to General Douglas MacArthur, and also the founder of Bankers Life and Casualty Corporation, which my dad worked for, and also the MacArthur Fund. So it's funny how things are connected. And then we have Mario Savio. Those of you who remember the Berkeley Free Speech Movement, he was born in 1942 on this date. And then we had good old rocker from the South, Greg Allman. His birthday is today. Interesting deaths. We had a couple of executions on this day. Mary, Queen of Scots, Catholic. Great movie with Richardson. And what's her name? Glenda Jackson played Queen Elizabeth. And it's very accurate historically. What's interesting is she had a legitimate claim, as her mother was Henry VIII's sister. But she was Catholic, and England had just turned Protestant because of all the religious and dynastic wars. And it was claimed that she plotted to kill Elizabeth to claim her rightful place on the English throne. And there are some relatives who, she was a Stuart. And Mary, she spoke French. She lived most of her life in France, and then she came over to England. Now, Catherine Hepburn did a film with Frederick Marx, Mary of Scotland, I think it's called. Great film, fairly accurate, and, of course, it depicted her fight with John Calvin and the Presbyterians. But anyway, the Stuarts did ascend to the British throne, Charles I and his son. They were Catholics or closet Catholics. And Charles lost his head in the war with Cromwell, Civil War, the English Civil War. And then his son assumed the throne, and then the Stuarts supposedly died out. Then they brought over William and Mary from Holland, who were Protestants. And they had the fight with the Irish at the Battle of the Boyne. It's still going on today. But there is, I was told by Pat Butler, who's an expert on these British dynastic wars, that there is a Stuart who is a Roman Catholic cardinal, and he has a claim to the British throne because the current crop that's on there are actually German Battenbergs. And in World War I, they changed their name because it was this anti-German feeling, even though they were cousins. These were Victoria's grandchildren, all related. She populated most of the houses of Europe. They changed their name from Battenberg to Mountbatten and then to Windsor. So they're actually Germans. So there's this claimant. I don't know if he's still living, a Roman Catholic cardinal. It'd be interesting to find out who he was. And then they call this an assassination, but it looks to me like a murder. John Lennon was murdered today by Hinckley. Very strange. And then Golda Meir, the Milwaukee school teacher who went to Israel and went with Palestine, and worked with Ben-Gurion and later became the first woman prime minister of a Jewish state. And great lady. She brokered peace with Anwar Sadat and your typical Jewish grandmother, and she died today. And then of the great country western actors, Slim Pickens was born today. Now, this also is a very interesting murder. George Collins, a black representative from the city of Chicago or Cook County, that he represented a district. He was killed in an airplane crash. This is a crash, if I'm not mistaken, where the wife of one of the Watergate people was on, and Hunt, I think it was Mrs. Hunt, and she was going to blow the goods on, spill the goods on something, an aspect about these dirty tricks that were going on during the 70s and allegedly during the Nixon administration. She was on that plane and that crashed, if I'm not mistaken, in Midway, at Midway Airport, which is was Chicago's first airport, and it was it's surrounded by city blocks. It's a very dangerous airport to fly into or fly out of because of its location, and that's why O'Hare Field was developed out in Des Plaines and Palatine. And I remember when I was growing up, it was a military airfield. And then today, the Pope, Roman Catholic Pope, declared that Blessed Virgin Mary, for those of you who are Catholic, had an Immaculate Conception, and that's how Jesus was born. And then George Washington crossed the retreated across the Delaware River, and then later on Christmas Eve raided the Hessians who were drunk and sleeping it off, and that was one of his first major victories. And we had the first cremation in America on this date. And then this is interesting because unions and this whole issue of union membership, the right to not become a union member and to still work in the same shop. On this date, the American Federation of Labor, 26 unions united under the leadership of Samuel Gompers, who was born in Britain. He worked in the cigar industry, emigrated to America, Jewish background. One of his relatives works, I'm not going to give you the city or the outfit, I know him. One of his relatives, his grandnephew, works at a non-union shop, and I asked him about it. And he likes where he's working, the benefits are great, he has medical care, and a really nice guy, and he college graduate, and was well into the history of his family, the Gompers family. But it just goes to show you how things have come full circle. And also on this day, Holmes, Oliver Wendell Holmes, became a U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice. He was one of the longest serving justices, 30 years. Fabulous career, came from Boston, served in the American Civil War, went to Harvard Law School, and after he graduated, worked in commercial law and admiralty law, which is very complicated. And he was such a good lawyer that he was appointed to several state judgeships and was finally appointed in 1902 to the vacancy. It was a recess U.S. Supreme Court appointment, which is unusual, to the U.S. Supreme Court as an associate justice. And he, very interesting guy. He also taught law, and he is the source of the statement that you cannot shout fire in a crowded theater and expect that to be protected speech. He later regretted that statement, but at the time he was also working on the theory of the clear and present danger. I won't get into that because it gets involved. But he also says something very interesting about the whole concept of law, which the whole legal constituency and the part component of our society is one of the least scrutinized. People know less about that than any other component of American society or economic sector or sector. Also, the fact that there's a lot of mystery that shrouds these judges and the courts and who appoints the staff attorneys and the clerks and how things really happen. We are also experiencing a big increase in the number of what they call pro se or in pro pair, people who can't afford a lawyer or can't get one or won't get one in some cases, who file and fight their own cases, and in a growing number of cases, they are successful. Another one of the verbal falsehoods, I should call it something else, was Abraham Lincoln. When he was a lawyer, he was a railroad lawyer, and in those days, that was a license to steal, and he worked for the Illinois Central Railroad, and Lincoln did a lot of things that he wouldn't get away with today. But he made the statement that a man who represents himself has a fool for a client. Well, that doesn't apply today because there are people who represent themselves in no-fault divorce, in small claims cases up to $25,000, and also there are a growing number of prisoners who think they're illegally in prison, their rights have been violated, they can't get a lawyer, so they file in pauperis a habeas corpus. So, you know, and they represent themselves and a number of people in civil cases because they can't afford a lawyer or can't get a competent and ethical one, they represent themselves. And the American Bar is finally, Association has finally taken notice of this because people are getting tired of incompetent lawyers who charge big fees and do very little. And when you try to get your money back, you know, it's like pulling teeth out of a crocodile if you want to try that. But he made a statement that a lot of law is not logic, which is one of the problems with studying law in law schools. But logic, he says, law is the full, it's based in experience, and that judges that the Constitution is an experiment. That, it's an interesting idea about law and judging. And there's a famous movie called Magnificent Yankee, which was first a play in 1946 and then became a movie with Louis Calhoun, who had this great voice and this aquiline nose, and it was called The Magnificent Yankee, and it was a depiction of the life of Oliver Wendell Holmes when he served on the U.S. Supreme Court. And also, Louis Calhoun was Julius Caesar in the first Julius Caesar movie with Marlon Brando and Sir John Gielgud and Edmund O'Brien, who had this New York accent, which is really funny considering it was ancient Rome. But Calhoun, great actor and very aquiline face, and he played Oliver Wendell Holmes. And let's see, what else today? on the George Christopher thing, we've got a little problem here. I will try to find that tape, and we'll play that because it's very important. And George Christopher, his stewardship as mayor of San Francisco, unfortunately never became governor. Reagan defeated him in the primary, but he ran the city like a business, not like one of these bogus nonprofits or, quote, community organizations, because as he said in the other interview, which we ran Monday, that you need the business community because they bring jobs, they pay taxes, and that enables the city to provide all the services that people demand, and also keeps the property taxes for the small homeowner. It keeps them at a low level of taxation. So we'll find that, and then probably have it Friday. So we're going to end now with what's very apropos, and it's still going on in Washington. And here we go.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Venom.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panjachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
Well, this is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening. And if you go to our archives, and we keep these up there, you can download them to your iPod to listen, learn, and enjoy at your leisure. We should be back Friday and with those tapes that I think I can find, and we have the computers fixed. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.